Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lorne, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens lines. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I'm also the GM for Valiant, and I write the Monsters Physique blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lorne, and I've been playing RPGs for almost 20 years. I write the Bend the Knee blog here on No Direction. You can also watch me play in the Adventurous and Three Ring Adventure podcasts.
And this episode is going to be a little different from what we've had before. We're here, actually, to help all of you people who've been interested in playing Pathfinder, but don't know where to start. Consider Lorne and I your guides to the magical world of Pathfinder.
So, the way this mini-series is going to work is we're going to break it up into three different episodes. This first one, we're going to talk about, if you're brand new to role-playing games, what do you need to know? Episode number two is going to be for people who are maybe coming in from a different role-playing game, but they already know how to throw D20s and make characters. You're coming in from 5th edition, you're coming in from Shadowrun. This is what you need to know about Pathfinder 2nd Edition. And then our third episode is going to be tips and tricks from veterans of the game, from listeners of the show, and from us, your dear friends, Luis and Lauren.
Yeah, so if those other episodes are more your speed, feel free to skip ahead. Or if you're listening to this as soon as it's released, give us a few weeks and we'll have those episodes out for you very soon.
So, let's start off with what are role-playing games? Yeah, that's right, folks. That's right. That's how early we're starting in this. What are role-playing games, Luis?
I always like to call role-playing games make-believe with rules. If you remember growing up as a kid playing on the playground at school, you may have played some random made-up game where it's like, aha, I have the amazing electric sword of 110 billion power, and then some other kid could be like, well, I have the anti-electricity shield that blocks all electricity, never takes damage, and also I have my own axe that does fire damage for 10 billion plus infinity damage, and so on and so forth. And basically we're just playing that game, but instead of letting everyone have 110 billion plus infinity axes, we tell you exactly what you can do when you play.
Somehow I never thought of that. That's actually really insightful. What I would tell y'all about role-playing games is that the game and the role-playing part of it are really kind of deceptive in that that's not the point of these games. The point of them is to hang out with your friends and have a good time. That's why folks always think about these games like they're the nerdiest thing you can do. I have this great sword. No, that ain't what it's about. It's about sitting around a table, or in these days, sitting around a Zoom call and, you know, just yelling at each other and having a great time. That's what this is.
Yeah. At its core, a role-playing game is just a way to tell a story. You and several friends will get together and tell some kind of story, and there will be rules to help you decide how to resolve certain situations in the story, and there's usually some kind of element introduced to make some kind of random effects or random decisions come out to shake things up a bit. Otherwise, you could literally just sit around the campfire and say, ah, we were wizards and we went up to the tower and we freed the people who were captured by the dragon. The end. No, here you have to do the work of rolling some dice to figure out where the tower is and climbing up and then fighting the dragon and so on, and that introduces the chance for failure and for more exciting moments. They're story generators.
Now, a lot of game systems have come out that let you do this thing we call role-playing. You can throw d20s, you can throw d10s, you can throw d6s, but all of them are trying to do around the same thing. They're going to put you in the head of a character that you have created, and then you're going to solve problems that are facilitated by the game master, the one friend who at the surface value doesn't get to play, but that's actually not true. You play the characters, they play the rest of the entire world. Now, there's been lots of game systems that have come out to do this, but my personal favorite one is Pathfinder 2nd Edition. That's why we have this show. That's why it's not about Shadowrun.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Pathfinder 2nd Edition. It's obviously the second edition of Pathfinder, and Pathfinder in general is a fantasy role-playing game. It's really very much in the vein of the traditional RPG that most people would know. It's got knights in shining armor. It's got wizards shooting bolts of electricity. It's got dragons. It's got trolls. It's got hordes of orcs and all the fun fantasy stuff that you might have seen from TV shows and movies or other games that you've played. It's pretty much all here. And I mean, that's just one way to play that game, and that's the one we're going to be talking about.
And in Pathfinder, you're taking place in, well, really, you've got two different worlds you can play in for Pathfinder. You can play in Galarian, which is the world of Pathfinder, or you can do what I've done for almost all of my gaming career. You can play in the world that you created, or that your friend Jimmy created, you know? One of my favorite things about Galarian, though, is that there's an entire country where everyone's a Viking.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
It sure is. So, Pathfinder 2nd Edition, as you may have gathered, is a role-playing game, and it is what we in the know like to call a crunchier game. That is, there's a lot of rules in place to kind of codify a lot of little things. So anything from how much your sword weighs to how difficult it is to trip the troll that you're fighting to the exact length of your lightning bolt that you fire out. There's lots of very specific rules as opposed to other games that are kind of more free-flowy, more kind of vague. You can do a thing. Pathfinder is very codified, very strict about a lot of things you can do, but it doesn't do so in a way that I feel restricts creativity, so that's why I like the game quite a bit.
And you being a new player, you don't really need to know any of those rules going into the game as long as you have a game master who does. And personally, when I'm going to start a gaming group or I'm going to teach somebody how to play Pathfinder, I prefer that they know absolutely nothing coming in, all the way from character sheet making to the first time they're throwing dice. I find that a blank canvas has more imagination than somebody who's letting themselves be beholden to the rules. A lot of things that I see new players do is they come in and they say, "What can I do?" Or, "I know that I can attack. I know that I can do this. What else can I do?" I don't ever want you to think about that, new players. I don't want you to think like that. What I want you to do is picture yourself, okay? You are this knight in shining armor. You are staring down a hallway with like a dozen dusty goblins in it, right? What do you want to do? Don't think in terms of game rules. What do you want to do? And it's your GM's job to help you figure out how to quantify that in the system. That's really all you need to know. As you start playing, you know, obviously you're going to have to start learning some of the rules, but they're not that bad. Like, nobody plays their first game knowing how everything works. And nobody expects you to either.
Yeah, and as someone who literally works on the game, there are times when I run the game and I still don't know how certain parts work, and I have to look it up myself. So, like, it happens. It's the rules are there for reference, not for memorization.
Now, Luis, I'm a new player. I have never played before. I don't own anything. How much money do I have to spend to start playing Pathfinder?
Technically, thanks to the advent of how much stuff is out there on the internet, nothing. You can start for free right now. If you really wanted to, you could go to... The rules are online for free. You can go look at the rules online. You can find online dice rollers and get those for rolling your dice and all that stuff and be set. You could actually play years and years and years worth of campaigns and adventures with no money down, which is great. It's amazing. I love it. But if you want to play in person and have books and all that stuff, it might be a little pricier to start. The core rule book, I believe, yeah, the core rules will run you $60 from Paizo.com, which is the website of the company that makes Pathfinder. And from there, you can also choose to maybe get a set of dice, and usually those run you anywhere from $5 to $10 for a set of basic dice. And that's it. So about the price of a video game or so will get you, in theory, unlimited adventure and fun.
And to get a character sheet, just go on the website, download the PDF, print it out at some printer. That's no big deal. No big deal.
Now, if you are doing this brand new, you probably have some friends who are already into Pathfinder, or, you know, are at least are getting into Pathfinder with you, and you don't need a book for every single person, and you don't need a set of dice for every single person. You can make do with maybe just one book, or you know, just a pool of community dice. So it might even be cheaper. Or if you have a friend who's already playing Pathfinder, you can just borrow their book and get started that way. So it is not a huge barrier to entry in terms of money, but just know that you're probably going to have an easier time if you have your own copy of your book, of your rules, and your own set of dice. But they're not mandatory.
When we started out, like 20-something years ago in high school, me and all my friends, we had the big old box of community dice. And at the start of each game, you'd pick out the dice that you wanted and that you needed. And, you know, I would always pick out, like, all of one color. Like, let's make a green set today. And some of my buddies would always just get random colors. And the reason I tell you this is because I no longer agree with you, Luis. I don't like the community dice situation. I'll tell you why. So nowadays, when I bring somebody new into role-playing games, I like to buy them their first set of dice. Hey, you know, thanks for coming to play with the game. Thanks for coming to our table. Here's a set of dice for you, you know? And then let them use it, you know? It's kind of like a cult, you know? Or kind of like a dealer. Hey, the first one's free, kid, you know? Like, you get them addicted to this, you know? Or make it kind of special to them. And these days, GMs, if you're listening, I think that's what you should do. I think if you're bringing in a new player, somebody who's like a friend of yours, buy them their first set of dice, you know? Yeah. I think it's special.
If you don't have someone like Lauren being so kind as to get you your own set of dice, you might have to go and shell them out on your own. Like I said, they're not too bad. It's a couple of bucks. The easiest way is probably hop online. You can search for dice sets, and they come in a pack of 7 varied dice. And if you have a local store, a local hobby store, or a local gaming store that you can go to that sells board games and the like, they probably also have dice for role-playing games. And I'd recommend hitting up your local store. That supporting a local store tends to be very good, because you are helping out the hobby, and also you have a place to meet new players or talk to other people about the game. And seeing as we're currently recording this in a time where lockdown is still happening for a lot of people, you might not have that option. So again, I can point you online. There's a website called Archive of Nethys, or Archives, excuse me, Archives of Nethys, N-E-T-H-Y-S, that has all the rules online and gets you all the information there. And you can also do a web search for things like dice rollers to get all of that going. So you should be able to get yourself up and running in a few short days if you wanted to right away. Or, you know, take your time, meet up with a group, meet with people and stuff like that. But I guess that kind of leads into, once you have your books and your dice and everything, what's the best way to play, Lauren?
I'll tell you, because I'm in this boat right now. We just moved to another state. None of my local friends are here. So we've got to find a new gaming group. We've got to find new people to play with for once the lockdown times are behind us. So the first thing I'm going to do is what you just said. I'm going to go to my local gaming store, and I'm just going to ask around. Hey, we're new to the area. We're interested in playing Pathfinder with some folks. Do you know any groups who are taking new members? Do you know any? Has anybody came in who would like to join a group? Another option, since sometimes you can't play with your local friends in person, but you really still want to play with them, you can play online. There's a few different websites The one that I'm most familiar with is Roll20. Roll20 will facilitate your games for you. It's free to most users. I think that there's some premium features you can purchase.
Yeah, and online play doesn't even need any complicated online virtual tabletops like Roll20 or anything like that. If you wanted to, you could hop on a Skype call, a Discord call, and just kind of do it from there. Depending on how fancy you want to get, there are dice spots that you can add to a Discord server and the like, but you could probably just do it with a microphone and chatting with people and maybe rolling dice on your computer desk and stuff like that.
Works just fine. Now, Luis, I'm going to ask you a question, and this is not even hypothetical. This is something I legitimately don't understand. Please explain to me, play by post, because I look at this from the outside looking in, and that looks so cool, but I cannot for the life of me wrap my head around how that works.
So, I think if I really dig into it, my initial history with role-playing games actually blossomed with play-by-post, so I know this relatively well. In short, you are playing just like you would in person or online. You have a person who's running the game, your game master, you have several players, each with their own characters, and you come online to a message board or to maybe a Discord server or something like that, some online medium where you can throw text about what's going on, throw it up there for everyone to see, and come back to it at a later time. If you've ever heard of people playing chess by the mail, where they would say, hey, I make this move, and then they mail it off to the next person, and they make that movement when they receive their letter, and then mail it back and forth very slowly over time. Play by post is a similar idea here. What'll happen is the GM will put forth, hey, you're walking through a forest and blah, 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 in text and tell you what's going on in the game and then ask for responses, and everyone else will then add a response. Oh, I look for traps, or I get my bow and arrow out in case we get ambushed, and so on and so forth. And it just kind of is a very slow going back and forth of players posting and the GM responding to that. And eventually, you know, you follow the same rules. There's still dice rolls and the like. And it's, in a sense, writing a book out with the rules, working together as you're posting the various actions that are happening in the game.
I always thought that sounded so interesting and something I might have to look into. But now let's say that I like the game. I've had a good time with my friends, but I just can't keep a stable group together, whether it be online or in person. Are there any official Pathfinder services that could help me continue to play games?
Sure. There's a little thing called Pathfinder Society Organized Play. In short, what Organized Play is a big community network of players and GMs that get together and run games and play games with each other, but don't do so on a regular basis. They don't, you know, always meet up like every week with the same five people or anything like that. It's just a kind of a drop-in, drop-out group where you can take your character, show up for a game for Pathfinder Society, play with your character, and your character will earn gold and experience and level up and progress and be part of a story, but you can always just hop out and come back in later. And you would be playing with different people sometimes. You might do so at conventions. You might do so at your local gaming store. There's online play with that. There's just always people available for Pathfinder Society. And if you can gather enough people that are part of the same group, you kind of just can play a game at any time.
This is where I'm going to start once I'm able to venture forth into social spaces again. I'm going to ask the local game store, hey, are there any places doing Pathfinder Society games? Because you can always get in on a table at a Pathfinder Society game. And the missions are all self-contained. If you only can show up for every fifth mission that they do, you're not missing out on any story. You're not missing out on loot or on experience. Everything works just fine. And it's a great way to meet new people who are interested in the same things that you are. And on top of that, because there's so little onus to keep playing that character, to keep playing the on a regular schedule, you can make a bunch of different characters. And some of my favorite characters that I've ever made have come out of Pathfinder Society.
So, lots of different ways for you to to get a game going. If you are on your own, I recommend Pathfinder Society. Or as Lauren said, reach out to people. You might even look into things like Facebook groups or Discord servers for people looking for games. You know, people are in need of players, or if you need a group to join in, that's a good way to put yourself out there. Or if you have a couple of friends, you might just say, hey, I got this new Pathfinder thing, let's try it out, and figure it out from there. But eventually you're going to go into your first game, and there's some things to keep in mind. We're not going to tell you any of the rules or anything. It's just kind of some general guidelines that I think will help you out and will hopefully be applicable in the future. I mean, these will be great for your second game and your 10th game and your 100th game, assuming you stick it out that long. But just some things to keep in mind. So first off, as we mentioned earlier, this is a storytelling game. You're not here to necessarily beat everyone else who's playing. It's not a competition. You're cooperating, you're working together, you are playing characters that are part of a team, going around, you know, doing whatever your quest might be, but you're telling a story and you're working together. You are just a member of the fellowship, as opposed to, I am the leader and I have to be in charge and I win every time.
Something else to keep in mind, the rules don't matter. Like, I mean, they really don't. Like, you're just here playing advanced board games, right? Like, if you have a cool idea, just run with it, all right? Just tell your GM, like, look, all right, I don't know how the rules work for this, but I definitely want to do a kick flip off of this barrel and hit the goblin in the face. Like, who cares about the rules? Like, the GM's going to say, okay, that's awesome. Make an athletics check and then an attack roll. You know, just to see how you do. Don't worry about the rules. Just sit here, imagine what's going on, and then imagine how you want to interact with that. And just describe it. Just tell the story. Everything will fall in place.
Yeah, I've been running games for many, many years, and I've been with players who have been playing this game longer than I have. And occasionally, they're still like, hey, can I try this thing? Like, even though they know the rules inside and out, they're just like, I want to try this new thing. I want to figure out how we can do this. And we just work with that. We come up with a cool thing or a fun idea. And then, you know, if there are ways to apply rules to it, we do that. If not, we just kind of roll with it.
That's me. That's me 100%.
So another thing you can think about here, you might be getting into this game and wanting to play a particular type of character. You might have been like, you know, I love Legolas in the Lord of the Rings movies, and I want to play a Legolas. How do I do that? Know that there are probably different ways that you can represent Legolas. If you get into the game, you might say, oh, Legolas was definitely a ranger. But other people might say, well, he's probably a fighter that focuses on bows. And, you know, there's different ways to represent your character, and there's no wrong way or right way to do that. If you find that you are doing what you want to do in the game, then you did it right. You're having fun. You're enjoying yourself. If you have some guidance along the way and people suggest maybe this class or that class or this option or that option, great. But know that as long as you ultimately end up doing what you feel like you wanted to do, then you did it right.
And if you're new to the game, the best way to start on this path to figuring out what rules you're going to cobble together to make your character, the best thing you need to do here is go talk to your GM. Go talk to your game master. Say, hey, I think Legolas is as cool as it gets. Okay? I want to be an elf, and I want to do the things that Legolas does. Game master, what do you think? And then they might suggest you could be a ranger or you could be a fighter with a bow, and they'll go over these things with you. And the reason I mention this, even though it sounds really simple, is because you might come up with ideas that are not in the core rule book, and that's fine. Again, the rules don't matter. Your game master can make up the rules as they want. My favorite character I've ever played, in every system that I've ever tried to run her in, I have to homebrew like half of her rules because they're just not there. It's too specific of a case, and it is another Viking, by the way. but that's the point of this, is, you know, just sitting around talking and having fun with your friends. If you want to come up with something really creative that, you know, the GM has to, you know, scribble a pencil around for it, then no problem, go with it. So, you've got your character, Right? The GM's described a story for you. And now everybody's looking at you. How are you going to interact with this scene? You know, I get that it might be a little bit awkward to speak in the first person about an elf who has a drinking problem. Like, it could take several sessions to get used to it. But nobody's here to judge you, right? Like, there's not a $50 prize in the line. This is like if karaoke was even less important, you know? Like, you're just sitting around the table and you're just making a fool of yourself with your friends who are also making fools of themselves. We're all just here to have a good time. Bad accents are the best thing that has ever happened to a friend group. And that's all this game is just sitting around with bad accents. Oh my god, my Norwegian bad accent is so much fun.
Yeah, if you have trouble doing a first person, you know, I go to the tavern and ask the tavern keep about quests, you might just say, oh, my character goes. You can do it in third person. You can describe it however you like. And that's totally fine. Find whatever fits well for you. Also know that you might feel weird, like, having to look things up. And that's okay. Again, we're telling you, don't sweat those rules. Just take your time. If you need any help, ask for help. And don't ever feel bad about misremembering that, oh, well, I forgot that my character can do this, and blah, 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 blah. Like, a good group will work with you and accommodate you. And if you find that you're not enjoying how people are treating you when you're playing the game, please don't hesitate to leave that group. There are plenty of other people you can play Pathfinder with. There are plenty of other people you can play role-playing games with. I've heard an adage that is basically, no role-playing game is much better than being in a bad role-playing game. So you'd be better off leaving your group and not playing for a little bit than being stuck with a bad group and having a bad time, you know, being, you know, if you're being made fun of because you don't know the rules, or people are acting like, oh, I can't believe you're such a newbie and don't know all this stuff, or blah, 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 or I'm running the game how I want and you should shut up and follow how I want to run the game. All of those are red flags. Just please leave and find a different group. There are plenty of groups out there that will be happy to have you. And you know, even if that means just go join Pathfinder Society for a while, there'll be people that you can play with until you find your own group for yourself.
Yeah. If there's nothing else you take away from us this episode, please take away this. It is a friend group first and a gaming group second. And that's the only way you're going to have fun. All right. I mean, you can have a good time at Pathfinder Society with people you've never played with before. But, okay. If I'm being real, all right. Okay, let's be real for a minute, Luis. All right. A good gaming group is better than video games. For, like, a ton of reasons. It just is. Like, society is about, you know, they're right there with each other. Like, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, you know? But it's still fun, and it's still, like, a good way to, like, get your feet wet with it, you know?
And you might develop a group or a crew of people that you play with regularly through society, and that becomes your gaming group. But, yeah, it definitely is.
No, you're right. Let me rephrase my own dang self. A society game where you don't know anyone is about as good as video games. But after you've been playing with that society lodge for a while, and these guys are your friends, and y'all can laugh about things that happened at other sessions, and that's when you're getting somewhere. That is so much fun.
Yeah.
Gaming group second, friend group first.
Yeah. Don't put up any abuse. Don't put up any unfun things. Know that if you're not having fun, do take some time to think. Is it because I don't get the game? Is it because I don't like it? Or is it because these people aren't making it fun for me? So if it is that third one, consider chatting with other people and seeing if you have a chance to play with them instead.
Now, here's something that I've found interesting. I've talked to a lot of people who said that they tried D&D or they tried something and it just wasn't for them. And if you dig deeper, Luis, like if one of us who kind of has a lot of experience with these games, if we dig deeper and ask them more, like, hey, you know, what was going on? What wasn't fun about it? 9 times out of 10, it just wasn't presented to them well, or the way the game was being ran wasn't really fun for them. Just because you had a bad experience once doesn't mean that the game has ruined you, you know? I don't know. I just say, I'm not going to tell you, go find another group, try again. But, you know, like, be open to talking to people about it, you know? If one of your friends have, like, if another friend you meet in life is, like, has a game going on, you know, be open to it. Be like, you know, I tried it once, it wasn't for me, but maybe this group will be fun. You know? I don't know. I'm just saying that there's a lot of folks who had a bad experience and don't play now. And I think a lot of that just comes down to presentation.
You might also just not enjoy the game, and that's okay. But I think as long as you're willing to give it an honest try, then it's nothing else that you can really worry about at that point. So those are some things to keep in mind going into your first game, but how do we get you actually started for your first game? I think there's a quick track to this, actually. You could have bought the dice and books and stuff, you know, 15 minutes ago when we told you about it, but it's probably an even quicker way to do this. And I want to point you to a little product called the Pathfinder Beginner Box, which is basically your little starter kit that has all the rules that you need, the dice that you need, character sheets, all of the information to get started right away. And even if on your own, if you're playing on your own, it has a little solo adventure for you to try the game out and figure it out. And it's, I think, right about the price of the main rules on their own. So you get a lot of bang for your buck here and can give it a go. And you can even probably get 3 of your friends together and all try it out at once. If none of you have any experience, it's a great way to start it.
The Beginner Box is a great first introduction to role-playing games and to Pathfinder. And what's fun about them is that they have a history of working. These beginner boxes go all the way back to ye old times of Dungeons and Dragons when Gygax was the one publishing material. Like, there's been beginner boxes for so long. These suckers work. It's a great way to just jump on in. Just, you know, I don't want to go on Amazon and find all the things I need. Just go find the beginner box. You'll be all right.
However, if you go to the beginner box, you like that, or if you did get the core rules and start working with that, then you're probably about to make your first character. And we've already told you how to do that. If you listen to our very first episode of Legend Lore, Legend Lore Episode 1 is all about creating a character. And we'll walk you through the steps on how to do that. And you can have your character ready to go for your first game, your first Pathfinder Society game, whatever your first game is, with our help. Go listen to that, get started on that, and then go try it. Go have fun. Trying out Pathfinder 2nd Edition is an adventure in and all of itself. So go do that.
So, all right, Luis. Now, I feel like we're missing one key thing, right? Somebody's listening to this episode because A, they really like us. Or B, more likely, because they want to know about role-playing games in general. And so, like, we've told them a lot of great stuff here, but, like, when you put it all together, right, what can somebody expect a game to be like at the table, right?
Well, it's going to be a lot of back and forth, and rather than just tell you about it, how about I run you through something really quick, and we'll pretend we're playing a game, and maybe get a feel for how the flow might go for your first game. It might not sound exactly like this, and it might not go this exact way, but at least you'll have an understanding of what to expect.
All right, well, let me make my character real quick. Yes. I'm gonna be an elf with a very deep connection to the woods, but she's always been kind of woodsy, but not like druidy, right? Because she's from like a minor house of knights. Mm-hmm. And the house of knights collapsed, you know, because of like economic, I don't know, because like political reasons, like the house is no more, but she still wears the tabard, and the emblem is a wolf's head, and she now like is this mysterious like knight who like stalks the woods and has like an animal companion, and she goes by the Queen of Wolves. That's my character.
Is she also a Viking?
No, not this time. She's not a okay. Viking.
All right. So, Queen of Wolves, former knight. This is very cruel to me in particular to have to run this on the fly. But, all right, so Laura.
I just came up with a whole character on the fly. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure, yes. But then I have to shape the entire world around you as this is happening. All right, so Lauren, you, the Queen of Wolves, you're trotting along on the... trotting along through a forest, you know, and it's twilight. And you know, the sun has just set. It's getting kind of dark, but your elven eyes, you can still see pretty well due to the dim light that's around. And you're traveling from one village to another. You've left a small village and are actually making your way towards the central city of the country, right? And as you're traveling along, you hear the sounds of rustling off to the distance. It sounds like it could be an ambush or maybe just an animal in the woods. What do you do?
Okay. So, since I'm in the woods, I'm definitely going to kind of stop in my place a little bit, look around. Can I get into, like, can I, like, hide in, like, a bush real quietly?
Yeah, there's definitely some bushes nearby. Roll a stealth check.
All right. You know what? Let's actually get a D20 on this.
Yep.
All right, so I'm definitely trained in stealth. Luis, I kid you not. Natural 20.
All right. So, you rolled very high. You rolled very well. You go to hide and there's not even a single leaf that rustles as you move into the bushes.
I am a fart on the wind.
You are definitely that. You are quieter than that, even. and as you wait, you hear the rustling grow louder, and there are two bandits that come out of a different bush just up ahead, and you hear one of them say, "Oh, I could have sworn there was someone walking along here. I guess we'll get some coin elsewhere."
Okay. I'd like to look for anything recognizable on them, any details. Maybe they wear like a particularly colored scarf that lets me know what gang they're from. Maybe I've seen these bandits before. I'd like to make a perception check.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. 17 on the die. This is on fire tonight.
So, because you hid yourself so well, in the bush there, you're basically right along the path, but they haven't noticed you. That means you're very up close, so it's very easy to see the details on them. And even with the dimming light that's going on, you can see that they bear just ever so hidden, just there's like a scarf or a cloak that's kind of covered this up, but you can still notice it. There's an insignia on each of their arms. There's a little patch, and this insignia bears the symbol of what looks to be a crack skull with a dagger going through the top of it, and you recognize, oh yes, that's the Daggerfall merchants. They're the ones that brought down my knightly house. They're the ones that I've been looking for.
Okay, so I found them. So I've got two options here. I can either kill these men, or I can follow them back to their lair. Let's see. Here's what we're gonna do. For the purpose of brevity, because we're recording a podcast right now, I'm gonna do both of those things. I'm going to kill one of them. So let me bring out my sword, my long sword, and I'm going to attack them.
Okay. You draw your sword and you leap out from the bushes and swing your blade down to cut one down. Roll your attack.
Oh, come on. It's been rolling well, which means it's going to poop out on me here. Okay, I'll take this. It's a 12 on the die.
12 on the die is just enough to catch him because he was unaware of you entirely. And you cut the one bandit down and the other one says, oh no! And he starts running away into the darkness.
Before he can run away, I'm going to say, boo.
And with that, he definitely lets out a yelp and bolts. And you see him run down the path towards what you believe to be his hiding place deep in the woods.
Confident in my plan, I track him all the way back.
You follow him down, and then you find a cave full of darkness, and you step inside. And we'll find out what you find inside next time, Lauren.
Oh, that's a good idea. We could keep this story going in episode 2. That's all we have for you today. Make sure you check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection, because it's the support of our patrons that make this all possible.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary.